Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
beseech thee, grant thy people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to always follow you, the only true God. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional meeting will be offered the chief articles of our faith, Article 25, concerning the confession. But of confession, they teach that an enumeration of sins is not necessary, and that consciences cannot be burdened with anxiety to enumerate all sins. For it is impossible to recount all sins, as Psalm 19 tells us. Who can understand his errors? Also in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? But if no sins were forgiven except those that were recounted, consciences could never find peace. For very many sins they neither see, nor can they remember. And the ancient writers also testify that an enumeration is not necessary, for in the decrees of Christendom is quoted, who says thus, I say not to you that you should disclose yourselves in public, nor that you accuse yourself before others, but I would have you obey the prophet who says, disclose thy ways before God. Therefore, confess your sins before God, the true judge, with a prayer. Tell your errors not with the tongue, but with the memory of your conscience, and so forth. And the gloss of repentance, distinct, considered, admits that the confession is the human right only, not commanded in Scripture, but the ordinances of the Church. Nevertheless, on account of the great benefit of absolution, and because it is otherwise useful to the conscience, confession is retained among us. So far the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Deuteronomy, chapter 10. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heaven is the Lord's thy God. The earth also, with all therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is to this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible with regard to persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God. He hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. So far the Old Testament lesson. This morning's epistle, 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Albeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all loving suffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King, eternal judge, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, and thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning the faith, and they've made their faith a shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So far the epistle lesson.
Thank you.
Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. My sermon theme this morning is Paul's Confession, and it's based upon our epistle lesson, and I would like to read verse 15 from that lesson. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. So far, please be seated. Without a doubt, next to Jesus Christ, the most outstanding figure in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. Remarkable was his conversion on the road to Damascus, when by the grace of God, Paul became a staunch believer in Jesus Christ. Paul worked, endured, and suffered more for Christ and his gospel than anyone else. Sometimes read 2 Corinthians and see what he went through for the sake of Christ. Through Paul, God has given us more writings in the New Testament than any other writer. And what a privilege it would be for us today, this morning, if Paul could stand here at this pulpit and teach us the Word of God. Our eyes would be riveted on him. Our ears would strain to catch every syllable of his sermon. Of course, Paul can't be here, so you're stuck with me. Because long time ago, God called Paul to his eternal home in heaven, and yet, Paul still speaks to us this morning through the Word of God. So let us open our ears as we study Paul's confession. The confession of Paul is an unusual one. It immediately causes us to stop and think. Paul says, and I thank Jesus Christ who counted me faithful when I was a blasphemer, when I was a persecutor. Here we see Paul in deep humiliation. This great apostle reveals to us a page of his life's history. And I think that most of us would like to forget some of our past and not tell anyone about it. But not so with Paul. I'm sure that Paul would rather not have talked about his past, but he was urged by the Holy Spirit to reveal it in order to bring glory to God. And what does Paul say about himself? He calls him the chief of sinners. That's a real bold statement. In his own eyes, he claims that he was the greatest of all sinners. Of all the sinners that have lived, are living, will live, I am the greatest, Paul says. And this is quite a statement for the Lord's greatest apostle to make. But why does Paul call himself chief of sinners? Verse 13 tells us that before his conversion, that Paul is a blasphemer. A blasphemer is one who speaks evil against God. Paul had blasphemed Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, yes, God in human flesh. Paul actually hated Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He also hated the gospel of Christ. Paul willingly and intentionally badmouthed Jesus Christ. Paul hurled satanic insults at the Lord of glory. Paul's attitude towards Jesus was the worst than all the scribes and the Pharisees put together. And not only was Paul a blasphemer, he admits of being a persecutor, one who beats and imprisons people for a living. Anyone who called upon the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God became the object of Paul's wrath, his fury, his hatred. And without showing any mercy, Paul persecuted the Christians, dragged them out of their homes, men, women, and children. I doubt very much if Paul himself could tell us how many Christians he had abused or tortured, or even how many Christian deaths he was personally responsible for. That's the kind of guy Paul was. He was a ringleader, so to speak. Paul was the godfather of his day. And it is because of his sinful past that he calls himself the chief of sinners, the greatest of all sinners. Yes, the confession of Paul came from the heart that was truly humble and repentant before God. Paul was deeply convinced of his sinfulness, and he now realized what a miserable sinner that he really was before Almighty God. Paul now saw the depths of his sin, his guilt, from which the grace of God rescued him. Are we willing to acknowledge with an honest confession that we too belong to the class of chief of sinners? How easy it is for us to see the sins of other people, but how hard it is to see our own sins. How ready we are to condemn others, but how quickly to execute justice and defend our own actions. Remember, we too are dealing with God. He is our infallible judge. People only see us from the outside. We really know our sins. But so does God. He knows our sins. He knows all of them. And true enough, we may not be guilty of such blasphemy against Christ, but are there not many other sins that the law of God accuses us, or which our conscience convicts us? Is there not a lack of love at times for the Word of God? Are we as prayerful as we ought to be? Would we be willing to step forward before this very congregation this morning and mention some of the great sins of which we are all guilty of, as Paul does in this morning's sermon? No, neither would I. We are too ashamed to do so, because we know that we too have every reason to confess unto God, as Paul did, I too am a chief of sinners. But from Paul's confession, we see that Paul is not driven to despair like Judas was about his sinful actions. Even though Paul was fully aware of all of his sins, even though Paul confessed all of his sins, even though Paul claimed it to be the chief of sinners, he shows that he has put his faith in the mercy and in the grace of God. Paul knew that he had received full forgiveness. Paul firmly believed that because of Jesus Christ, God is gracious, merciful, forgiving. And so are we. Paul believed with unwavering faith that the precious blood of Jesus Christ was also shed for him and cleansed him from all of his sins. And so can we. Yes, this Paul, this blasphemer, persecutor, is fully forgiven by God. Through Paul, God shows us an example of his grace, his mercy, his complete forgiveness, because we too are forgiven. Why was God so anxious to make a Christian out of Paul, the blasphemer, the persecutor? Well, one reason for Paul's conversion was that God wanted him to be an example of God's grace, his mercy, his forgiveness to all sinners. Just look at the kind of man God had to deal with. Paul was a pretty rotten guy, and yet God forgave him all of his sins. God wants all sinners, God wants us to see in Paul's case how merciful and gracious and forgiving he really is. And what that grace of God did for Paul, that grace of God does for us. No one can save himself from sin, and that's why Christ came. Jesus Christ came to save you and me by shedding his holy precious blood on Calvary's cross. He bore our punishment. He atoned for our sins. He gained forgiveness and heaven for us. Believe it. Trust in what God says. And he says that he has forgiven all of our sins. Cling to the forgiveness of God with a firm faith as did Paul in life and in death. Yes, Almighty God has said to us this morning, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. May we devote our lives to the service of him whose grace has made us what we are. Forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joy of eternal life in heaven. Amen.
Thank you.
who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us experience your love of the heavenly peace that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table. For we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Take a drink. It's the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for a moment. the true Lord, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Lord bless you and keep you in saving grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may this body and blood strengthen, preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
fresh to us through this sanitary gift. And we beseech thee, the mercy, that you strengthen us through the same faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.